Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms. Psalm 71. One man said, open your Bible to the book of Psalms, please. And Psalm 71, verses 9 through 21. My subject tonight will be what I want to do the rest of my life. It won't be as long as it has been, but as long as God gives me the strength, there's some things I'd like to do the rest of my life. Here in Psalm 71, beginning in verse 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. I'd say amen to that. How about you? And forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him, persecuted and taken, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now, also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is likened to thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Now what David said here in this psalm would be a great pattern for all of us to follow. Now, whatever our calling or work in life may be, we will do well to keep the Lord first in our lives. And God will continue to show us things that we need to adjust to as life goes on. And someone said, when we keep doing the same things that produce no results, we're still not going to have any results. If we're doing things that no production, why would we expect production? So if we need to change gears, then change gears. And what we will not change what we're not willing to confront. And so let's think about life. What we want to do the rest of our lives. Life is not about popularity. Life is not about wealth. Life is not about power. Life is not about pleasures. Life is about pleasing the Lord. Can I get an amen out there? That's what life is about, pleasing the Lord. And what a fulfillment that is. Luke 12 and verse 15. Life does not consist of the abundance of the things we possess. And then in John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said the devil came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. What a promise. That's what Jesus, I'm glad he promised beyond getting us to heaven. And he promised to help us on the way to heaven. And what a good journey it is with our teaming up with him. Now, when the Lord tells us to do something, we ought to agree, yeah, that's right, I will do that. And we ought to agree with the Lord. And when the Lord tells us to do something, yes, sir, that's what I'm willing to do. I'm in the Lord. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. You remember that little chorus? Yes, sir. I'm ready to do what the Lord wants me to do. I learned to say yes, sir, to my dad a long time ago. How about you? You know what I did one time? One time my dad told me to do something, and I said, huh? He didn't say anything. He just looked at me. I knew I better say yes, sir, real quick, because there was a tree over in the corner of the room. It wasn't a switch. It was a tree. You don't want to get whipped with a tree. And so, yes, sir. If I say yes, sir, to my dad, I ought to say yes, sir, to my Lord. And that's what he deserves. And then we ought to obey the Lord. Just like you, I was taught to obey my mom and dad. And there were rewards for obeying them. And there were consequences for not obeying them. And then the Lord teaches us to obey Him. To obey is better than sacrifice. And God teaches us to do that. And then we ought to want to please the Lord. Honor Him. Now, some things that I can still do, but time, certainly if I get older, there's some things that I won't be able to do. I'll just accept that fact. And, you know, there's some things that I can still do. I can still go hunting. I had a good season this past year going deer hunting. Just enjoyed it. And the last day I was out there in the woods, I thought maybe I might see one more. But the day and the hours went by, it finally got so dark, I looked through my scope, and I really couldn't tell if there's anything out there. So sitting up in the booth, I just said, Lord, thank you for keeping me safe in these woods all the season. Thank you that a critter didn't get me. And then thank you for the safety getting up and down out of the stands after the deer you helped me to get and left the woods. I'm glad that I can physically still go through the woods, just enjoy being out there riding my four-wheeler all over the place and having a good time doing that. I still love to fish. And don't get the wrong impression. I still like to practice karate. I'm not a real expert at it, but I like to think I could just whip anybody that comes along. But I like the sport. And you know, I don't know what it'd be like in the millennium or if what the sports may be, but if there's karate, I'd like to get in on and learn more about it. And if there's some teachers that come along, you remember David's Mighty Men? Remember Adino? And you remember Eleazar and Shammah? Those three men, good night, you read there in 2 Samuel chapter 23, don't do it now, in verses 8 to 11, one of them killed 800 men at one time. Boy, I want him to teach me some things during the millennium. You say, why in the world you want to learn karate during the millennium? Well, because there's some deacons I want to whip the tar out of. That's going to be our entertainment along the way. I'm not going to hurt them real bad, just whip them real bad. Now, not any of you deacons here, but just deacons in other churches. But that may be out in the future, I don't know. But you know, there's some things that I'd like to do just the rest of my life, and just follow me here. Number one, the psalmist said, just don't forsake me when I'm old and gray-headed. Now, first of all, I'd like to give more praise to the Lord for the rest of my life. How about you? You know, all through the day, if we'd stop and think about it, there's reason to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just say it. Praise the Lord. Throughout the Scriptures, there are verses that tell us about praising God. And you've seen it there in Psalm 146, praising the Lord. And Psalm 150, that entire chapter talks about praise the Lord. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I go through the woods sometimes. And, you know, I guess the birds are just praising the Lord to get started, especially the crows. And they sing so beautifully, don't they? And especially a drove of them coming out there, just sing out. And the little birds sing out. And just praising the Lord. And we, as God's children, have so much to praise the Lord for. And so every day, find reason and praise the Lord for His blessings. You know, I praise God for where I'm going after this life. Now, my life is full. I'm enjoying my life very, very much. I really am. But I'm going somewhere after this life where it's even greater. Would you all agree with me on that? According to what we find in the Bible, after this life, we haven't seen anything yet. There's something great for us to come. I'm going where there's no sickness. Can I get a praise the Lord on that? Now, after each statement, if you agree with me, I want to hear a praise the Lord. I'm going where there's no more sorrow. All right. I'm going where there's no more death. No, all right. I'm going where there's no more crying. Yes, sir. Good night. We have reason to praise the Lord. I'm going to heaven because the Lord saved me 60 years ago. And I haven't gotten over that. Thank the Lord. I'm saved. And you ought to, and I'm sure you are thankful for that. So I praise God for the blessings, the place I'm going after this life. And I praise God for the blessing of saving my soul and calling me for the ministry. My dad came to visit us on a weekend when I was pastor there in Atlanta many years ago. And I asked Dad to say a few words. And as he was sort of testifying a little bit, he said, he wasn't slamming me or anything, but he said, the farthest thing that I ever thought for Layton that he would be a preacher. Well, I had no idea that would be it either. And I think sometimes folks think maybe preachers are kind of sissies. Well, you know, that's why I mentioned these guys there in the book, like Shammah and Eleazar and David. I'd like to be acquainted with guys like that physically. You know what I'm saying? And so though preachers are not sissies, they're some of the toughest guys. I don't mean just physically, but guys that just hang in there and do the right thing. Thank God for men of God. For preachers who love the Lord, and you hear some people say, well, I knew this preacher so-and-so, but listen, there's a lot of men of God who still love the Lord throughout our country and throughout the world. And it's a way to praise God for them and thank the Lord for them. So praise God for the men of God. I thank the Lord for the men of God I knew in the past. Brother Derwood Williams, I don't know if any of you would recognize that name or not. But he's a preacher. When I walked down to church the third time I'd attended his church at, there in Atlanta, on a Sunday morning where I'd gone to get a job in Atlanta, and I walked in, and the third Sunday there, I'm walking out, and he was at the door, and he looked me in the eyes, we shook hands, and asked, are you a Christian? And I couldn't say yes. And so I said, no, sir, not. Wouldn't you like to be? Well, yes, sir. Well, let me finish shaking hands with the people, and I'll talk to you. Okay, I walked outside, and I looked and I saw the preacher with his back turned to me, and I took off and went home that night. But while in bed, I prayed, oh God, I know I'm a sinner, and I want you to save me. And Brother Williams came to the house about a week later, and I told him what I'd done, and he showed me Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that gave me assurance that I was saved and on the way to heaven. I thank God for Brother Williams. I never dreamed when he led me to the Lord, and I listened to him as my pastor, that when the time came when he left this world, that I would be asked to conduct his funeral service. That was not an easy thing to do. But Brother Weaver was 92 years old. His body was pretty much used up. And now he's been in glory for several years. But I'll be forever grateful to him for leading me to Jesus Christ. Aren't you grateful for those who pointed you to the Lord? Thank the Lord. And then for Dr. Lee Robertson, my, what a preacher. What a man of God. How many of you have ever heard, had a chance to hear him? Yes. Amen. He was a great, great preacher. And a great, great pastor. Great man of God. Lester Roloff, I was so glad to hear him preach. You know, when Lester Roloff came and preached in your church, you either got rid of your TV or you were very selective in what you watched. I'm telling you. He helped along that line. And Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. B.R. Lakin, Dr. Monroe Parker, Dr. Harold Seitler, Dr. John R. Rice, Dr. Bill Rice, Dr. Fred Brown, Jack Howells, Curtis Hudson. I was brought up under the preaching of men like this, and I'll be forever grateful for their ministry and their preaching the Word of God. Praise God for His blessing. I want to give more praise to God for the rest of my life. I praise God for the opportunities I've had to be in the ministry all these years. When I graduated from Tennessee Temple back in 1967, I felt led of the Lord to go into evangelism. Not because of all the meetings that were scheduled, but just felt in my heart that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Before that year was over, God had helped me to conduct 26 one-week meetings. And out of those meetings, 300 people had gotten saved. And the Lord had blessed. And I decided to stay in evangelism. Not because of the popularity, and not because of the getting rich. You know what? During those 26 one meetings, the income out of those meetings was $3,000. That was the total income for 26 revival meetings. You know what? I still want to punch those preachers. I'll tell you what. But anyway, the Lord blessed and took care and provided every need. Amen? God has a way of supplying. So I stayed in that work for all those years. And out of 15 years, I traveled as an evangelist. And I, over the records, God knows, but over the years, I just kept the records of where I went and the results. And over 8,000 people walked forward in those meetings and asked Jesus to save them. I went to one meeting in particular in West Virginia. In the Sunday school hour, we combined the Sunday schools, and I gave the invitation. A lady had lifted her hand for prayer, and so during the invitation, she stepped out, and she asked the Lord to save her. I can still see her in my mind. A few weeks later, she and her husband got into a discussion, and somehow it led to violence, and he shot her and killed her. I sure am glad that the Spirit of God tugged at her heart that morning. And she walked forward. And she's been in heaven a long time. I'm glad they had church that day. I'm glad that as she came to Sunday, I'm glad somebody had invited her to come to church that morning. And because of that, she got saved. And I praise God for the opportunity that I have to serve the Lord now. And with His help, I want to continue to serve Him. I have reason to praise God, not for just the past, but what He is doing now. I lead the singing for our church when I'm there on Sunday morning. And then I have opportunity to teach the young people who are there. And then had the opportunity to preach in a nursing home once a month. Boy, I have a good time preaching in a nursing home. I'll start singing. Now listen, y'all may know this in a chorus. If you do, sing it with me. And we start saying, Jesus loves me. And I, Jesus loves me, this I know. And boy, they just have a great time. And just sing it out. And if I get up to sing a solo or something, I have somebody over here joining singing with me. I don't make fun of them. We have a good time. Give about a 10-minute message. And on top of that, there was a little man not long ago. I have the date. It was over a year ago, January 1. January 31st, I believe it was, in 2016. A little man, 90 years old, asked the Lord to save him. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you have a nursing home ministry or not. But my wife and two other ladies go to the nursing home every Tuesday. And those folks just love it. They go in there and just talk to them, encourage them. And you know, there's a lot of things that we can just do to be a blessing to people. Amen? And so these are some things that we can still do. We can go door-to-door soul winning. And I love to sing, love to preach. Praise God for all the people who are out there serving Jesus today around the world. You know, thank God for those who are out there. Praise God for all the preachers who still believe the Bible and are still preaching the Bible. You know, we sort of get the impression that the only church is doing anything where they have the mammoth crowds and just great thing, rock and roll, you name it, all the lights going on. What a great time they're having. You know, we ought to have something after we leave church. We ought to have something that would strengthen us on Monday and encourage us on Tuesday. And all through the week when the lights aren't flashing, when all the Hollywood stuff is not going on. Thank God for the old-time Bible preaching. That's what we need continuously. And continue to do that in a strong, powerful way. And so a lot of good things are going on in that little course because just praising. Just praising. Lloyd Smith's wife said last week, and he's a music director and song leader and loves the Lord and loves music. She said, she wasn't complaining. She said, all through the day, he's humming some kind of song. Just a song on his tongue, on his heart all the time. Well, that's good, isn't it? Just something to be praising the Lord for. Secondly, I don't want to praise the Lord for the rest of my life. I want to give the example of his strengths to this generation. Verse 18, that's what the psalmist said. Don't forsake me when I'm gray-headed and old. Until I show thy strength to this generation. Acts chapter 4 and verses 40 through 42, the apostles were coming back from preaching somewhere. And the Bible says that they had been beaten. Can you imagine that? People are beating up on a preacher. And so they had been beaten. And what were they doing? When we get home, we're going to call our lawyer. And we're going to sue these people. What were they doing? No, they were saying, praise the Lord. Can you imagine? They thought we were such good Christians, they beat us up for it. Hallelujah. You know, I haven't gotten there yet. How about you? And we get a door slammed in our face and we're ready to quit. Sometimes we're just so intimidated, we won't even go to a door. But these guys were out there and witnessing and working for the Lord, got beat up for it, and were praising God that these people thought they were such great Christians. You know, I want to show the Lord's strength when things seemingly aren't going very well. You know, you look at it. Sometimes, would y'all agree with me, life is not always fair. Jesus is. Can I get an amen on that? He is always fair. But life isn't. We can go back. It was fair until Adam and Eve messed up. God intended it to be right. He made it right. But their nature passed on to us. But thank God with Jesus in our hearts and Him to lean on when things aren't going right, He'll give us strength to get through it and to handle it. All of us, most of us here, you've experienced things just was not fair to you. And you may have that again. I may have it again. I've had it. We all experience the things that just aren't fair. But you know, it's during those times, we look back to that scripture we quoted, we ask God to put it into practice, help Lord help me to experience that. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. I believe that scripture. But I'm going to tell you, it's not easy to practice it. Is it easy for you to practice that? Sometimes I don't question God, but I may ask why sometimes. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, one of the words was why. It's all right to ask God why. It's not all right to question Him. Lord, why? And just ask Him to help you. Give you grace. We may not get a direct answer, but I tell you what, He'll give us grace to deal with it. He gave us strength to deal with it. And that makes all the difference in the world. Now think about this. I want to show His strength in the face of temptation. Listen. Someone asked this older man, when will you get to the point where you're not bothered with temptation? He's about 90 years old. He said, how should I know? Temptation doesn't leave you alone just because you get old. Now, I'm not just talking about moral temptation. All kind of temptations come to you. Just as long as you're in this flesh. And we need God's grace to be victorious in the face of all of them. Whatever it may be. The temptations. I want to show His strength in the sorrows of life. You know, a friend at the church, he was driving the golf cart. And our parking lot is kind of scattered around. And so a lot of senior citizens at the church. And so when they come, he'll run with his golf cart, pick them up, and bring them right in front of the church. And so I happened to be parked a long way from the front the other night. He picked me up, and I was riding along with him. And he said, I said, how are you doing today, Dean? He said, well, pretty good. I just lost my job today. 37 years on his job, and they called him in. It's over. Boy, what a shock. But you know, he's smiling. He said, I've got a friend that's been trying to get me to go work with him for the past 5 years. And maybe this is how God has just brought it to pass. You know, if you love the Lord, He's never going to let you down. Do you remember that verse? I don't know exactly where it is right now. I don't have it written down, but I know it's in the Bible. The Lord said something about, I know when a little sparrow falls. And don't you know if I know when a little sparrow falls, I'm going to take care of you? And you tell me, I don't know, but you tell me the sparrow is the least of all the birds. And the Lord picked out a sparrow and said, and when a little sparrow falls, I know that. And I surely know about your troubles too. Don't we have a wonderful Savior? He cares so much about us. The sorrows of life. There's a verse in the Bible, Ezekiel 24 and verse 18. Ezekiel said this, in the evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. Think of that. My wife died, and I kept on serving the Lord. God gave him the grace to continue to deal with it. So I want to give the example of God's strength. And then thirdly, I'd like to give the example of God's power to this generation to come. His power is available to individuals. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now all of us who are saved, we have the Holy Spirit in us. Every single one. He came in us when we got saved. There's one indwelling and there could be many fillings. Every day our prayer ought to be, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. It's easy to get empty. You know, as we drive our vehicle, after a while you got to fill the tank up again. I'll probably have to refuel before I get back home. So stop, get some more gas. You know, just the same, the Holy Spirit is there, but we have to yield to Him every day. Stop and yield yourself to Him. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. It makes such a difference in our lives as we live for Him. And the Lord empowers us to do unusual things when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look in the Bible at those who had the power of God. Joseph, beyond having the power of God, he could never have behaved like he did in the face of his brothers, what they did to him. He did not do, humanly speaking, what he did with his own power. He had the power of God in his life. That's why he was able to forgive his brothers. That's why he was able to go and do what he did and behave himself wisely. That's why he is able to run from the wicked woman. Well, here's a good story. It's good to hear of a preacher running from a woman rather than running after one. So Joseph gave a good example, amen? Good example. He had the power of God in his life. Elijah, this man could not have done the things he did without the power of God. You've read the story there in Kings, how he called down God's power on that altar and soaked it with water, and then the power of God came and burned it up. Even down in the linen trenches around, the fire licked it all up. Then all those false prophets were destroyed. Daniel had the power of God on his life. That's why he is able to say, no, I'm not drinking the king's strong drink. Just pass the bottle on down. I will not be drinking it. And thank God for the Christians today who say, I'll not be drinking it. Passing on along. Dr. Robertson said, when a lady said to him one time, Dr. Robertson, I want you to pray for my son that he get the beer out of the refrigerator in our house. And he said, no, ma'am, I will not do that. You won't? No. Is that your house? Yes, sir. Is that your refrigerator? Yes, sir. Then you go to it, you take it out, and you destroy every bottle of it. I thought that was good advice. If you don't believe in it, don't let anybody in your house have it. Throw it where it ought to be thrown, with God's help. Now, this is what he did. I don't know if you have faced a situation like that. I'm not giving you advice. I'm just saying we as God's Christian ought to have a strong, strong opposition to the strong drink of alcohol. My wife could tell you about that. Her dad was a drunkard. And as she said, I didn't know him then, but a mean drunkard. The kind of drunkard that would come home and shoot up the house with a gun. And do mean things. Make his money and gamble it away. And leave the family with hardly enough food to get by. But thank God for His mercy and His grace. He got saved before he died. Isn't the Lord good? He lived his last 8 years serving Jesus Christ. And I got to know Him during those years. And I really did love the Lord. I'm so glad for God's power. Then I think of Peter and John. What the power these men had. You know what? They were going to church one day. There's a man sitting there and asked him for some help. And so they looked at him and said, honestly, we don't have any silver or gold, but such as we have, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. He didn't say, I can't walk. Y'all know I can't do that. You know what he did? He got up and walked. And it said later on, he was leaping. Praise the Lord. Wow. Man alive. Look what the Lord has done. What power. I don't know if we could have that kind of power to do such as that. But these men walk with God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, this man got up and walked. God's power. People need to see the power of God. You know God's power is available for churches today? There in the book of Acts, chapter 4, and verse 31, they got together for a prayer meeting. I'm not talking about a Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's okay to do that. But they got together for a prayer meeting. People got together and prayed. I've heard, and not knocking it, any kind of prayer meeting is better than no prayer meeting. And so they got together and had a prayer meeting. And if they prayed in such a way, the place was shaking where they were assembled together. Remember that? The place was shaking. The building started shaking. Then it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then it says they all went out. Then it says they spake the Word of God without being intimidated. They spoke God's Word how? With boldness. You know how to speak God's Word with boldness? Get filled with the Spirit of God. God does not fill us with His Spirit just to make us feel good. He fills us with His Spirit so that we can effectively serve Him. That's why He fills us with His Spirit. So His power is available for churches. His power is available for individuals. You know, think about churches. In Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, it says that the church was scattered except the apostles. Who went out? The members of the church. I was reading a sermon by Sam Jones. I didn't know him, of course, and you didn't either, but that's a preacher way back in the 1800s. And a great preacher he was. And he said, you know, the church has pretty much put it in the hands of those of us as preachers to get the job done and get people in and get them saved. And he said, I have to say, folks, we as preachers have done a pretty sorry job. Think of him saying that way back there in the 1800s. And he said, since we've done a pretty sorry job, where does that put you, the congregation? Now, that's what he was saying. He is saying what we need to do, we all need to get on the team. We can all do better. And so that's what I would say to you tonight, folks. The church went out except the apostles. We as preachers set the example, yes. But then we who sit on the pew, we are to go out. Why don't you this week take the challenge between now and next Sunday? Pray every day that God will help you to get somebody to come to church next Sunday. Would there be something wrong with that? I guarantee you're going to see some people this week that don't go to church. And it may be the person you invite would say, you know, I've been hoping somebody would ask me to come to church. You'd be surprised if you just fill your heart up with that ambition all the time. I'm not saying I ask every person I see to come to church. I don't do that. But I do try to do it pretty often. And God is blessed. And I can't stand it if I can't get somebody to come to church. And that's not just because I'm not a pastor now. I don't try to get people to come to church just because I'm a pastor. I can try to get people to come and hear the Word of God because I'm a Christian. That's what Christians are supposed to do. And I said to the choir tonight, you folks got a lot to offer. And to keep on doing what you're doing. But let's get people saved. How long? I'm just asking the question. I don't know. Maybe it was last Sunday. How long has it been since the Baptists have been used? How long? Amen. Dr. Robertson said, the best way to keep down church trouble is to keep the Baptist waters troubled. That's a good truth. Keep the waters troubled. Keep working at it. God's power is available. Some folks, they'd ask, well, what do you got for the youth in your church? Well, I'll tell you what we have. We have the Word of God. Where we teach boys and girls to obey their parents. What better thing could parents have than their children obeying them? and we teach young people to keep God first in their lives. We teach them to abstain from all the temptations of the flesh. We teach them that to live for God is the best way to go with your life. We teach them to get involved in serving the Lord. There was a young fella, he and his mom and sister have been in the church probably about a year or so. Kim and Grant and Jordan. Grant, and the last name is Tyson. And Grant is in the 10th grade. And fine young fella. Do you know what he did during the revival meeting last week? He drove a golf cart, picking up people and bring them into church. 16-year-old. Boy, he had a good time. Hauling people on that golf cart from way out in the parking lot, bringing them up to the front. Enjoying himself. It was great to see that young fellow doing that. Nobody had to push him. He was just asked to do it. And serve the Lord that way. And I'm saying you have a lot to offer the folks. And we say, well, we just don't have a lot to offer. Yes, you do. If you're teaching the Word of God, you have a lot to offer. If you're trying to get people saved, you have a lot to offer. And giving people opportunities to serve. So as a power is available for all of his children. And then I want to show the Lord's greatness in my life. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Someone said, two choices on the shelf, serve God or serve self. One or the two. The Lord is great in answering prayer. Call upon me, and I'll answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33. In verse 3, the Lord is great in directing our lives. I will instruct thee and teach thee. I will guide thee with mine eye. Psalm 32 in verse 8. The Lord is great in forgiving us of our sins. Can you say amen to that? I sure am glad he is. And then, the Lord is great in living through us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Lord is great in saving the unsaved. My, so many people are lost without the Lord. Lost and no hope of heaven. And we as God's children, we need to do all we can in trying to reach the lost. And, you know, there's people out there. I can't win everybody I talk to, but I can win some. I can get some people saved. And you can help in that matter as well. The Lord's time is for us to go out now. Life is passing by quickly. These years have gotten where they are really quick. So make good use of the time that you have now. Serve the Lord with all of your heart right now. If you've never been saved, what a good time this would be to come to Jesus Christ. Accept Christ as your Savior. And you think about this. The Lord's time to be saved is always now, because we don't know tomorrow is going to come. So my question is, what would you like to do with the rest of your life? Why not what Paul said in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a good thing to do, amen? Just give it all to the Lord. Why don't you make a commitment in your heart tonight? I want to praise the Lord just the rest of my life. Give praise to Him, and I want to show His strength, His power, and to show His greatness. Encourage people to live their lives for Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for prayer.